Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimesinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we are working through our series on loving one another and the one another commands of the New Testament. And today we'll be looking at being patient with one another. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, I ask for your grace, peace, and wisdom to be all over this broadcast. Help us to understand your word and your commandment. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's start with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so, talks about long-suffering and bearing with one another in love. We have to be able to put up with those we love, that being the one another's in the body of Christ, our other brothers and sisters in the Lord, our own family, our own friends, our own relatives. Love is patient. You don't experience love from an impatient person. An impatient person, what do you feel? You feel they're always angry at you. You always feel that they're condemning you, that they're putting you down, that they're pushing you around, that it's their way or the highway. Well, that's not love. Love is patient with the infirmities, weaknesses, and failings of other people. And we are to be patient with the weak. We're to strengthen those who need to be strengthened in life. We are to be kind to those who need our kindness, and we're to build them up in the love of God. So here in this little broadcast, in today's thing, we're going to be talking about how to be patient with one another and the virtue that that is and how it causes us to be in unity. And unity is spiritual power. You can't have spiritual power without unity. You can't have unity without patience. You see, if you're going to be impatient with your pastor, you're not going to be in unity with your pastor. If your pastor is going to be impatient with you, then the church will split because the pastor will not be loving the people. People will sense that. They will go to other places. A harsh and impatient pastor drives away the sheep. He beats up the sheep. So if you're a pastor, an elder, an intercessor, or someone in Christian leadership, you have to be patient. And Paul talks to Timothy and he says, teaching them with all patience, instructing them with all patience, that they may repent and turn to a knowledge of God who wants all men everywhere to be saved. You see, if we're to see people saved, we have to be patient with them. They won't listen to you if you're impatient. They won't listen to you if you're scolding. They won't listen to you if you're a bully. They won't listen to you if you're picking on their faults all the time. You have to show Christ's love. And Christ was very patient with his disciples. They often irritated him. They often failed to have as much faith as Jesus would like them to have. But nonetheless, we find that he was patient with his disciples right through to the end. He loved them right through to the end. He went to the cross for them. He demonstrated a understanding of their weaknesses and their strength. He was patient with Peter, who always kept putting his foot in his mouth. And Jesus showed great patience with Peter and appointed him to head the church upon Jesus' departure into heaven. So you see, we've got to believe in people and be patient with them and patient with the processes that are going on in their life. Jesus knew that Peter would turn into a leader, the sort of leader that could preach a great sermon on the day of Pentecost. Jesus knew that there was a process happening in the Apostle Peter's life. And he knew that that would only be completed when Peter was fully baptized in the Holy Ghost and filled with power. And Jesus knew the stages that Peter would have to go through, and so he was patient with the Apostle Peter, because he knew that God was doing a great work in his life. He knew that great things would come forth from him, and that God wills and works in us to his good pleasure. So when you're looking at your children, you know your children are going to grow up. You know they're going to go through various stages. They're going to be an infant. They're going to be a toddler. They're going to be running around as a 4, 5, and 6-year-old. They're going to start learning. They're going to go to school. They're going to do this and that and the other and engage in sports and become a teenager and maybe be a bit of a handful. And then they will find their own feet and freedom, go to college, go out into the world, get a career, marry, have kids, and so on. You know the stages that they are going to go through in life, and you are patient with them. You are not going to ask a little toddler to go out and drive the car, at least. I hope not. You're not going to say, oh, little toddler, you're so foolish that you can't get into the car and start the car and drive the car. Why are you so short? Why can't your feet reach the pedals? That would be impatient. That would be foolish. That would be madness itself. And yet we ask new Christians to do things that mature Christians can do. We have to be kind to people and understand the stages of spiritual growth in their life and not put expectations on them that they simply cannot meet. Yet we should encourage one another to spiritual growth at all times. We should not give up on one another. We should be there patiently waiting for other people to get born again, to get baptized, to start reading the Bible, to start praying, to start getting involved in the church. And we should patiently encourage one another to growth, to love, and to good works. And as we do that, we will build unity into the body of Christ. We will be patient with one another. We will not divide over doctrine. We will not divide over food, over practices, over the color of the church carpet, or over the style of the sermon or the music. The young people will be patient with the older people, and the older people will be patient with the younger people. And so we will build community through long suffering, through understanding, through putting on hearts of tenderness and compassion towards one another. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, there's a very interesting verse, and I find it quite stunning when I first read it. It talks about the purpose of the power of God. Colossians 1, verses 11 and 12. Colossians 1, 11 and 12, it says, strengthened with all might, according to the God, his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So God's glorious power is there for a purpose, and that purpose is for all patience and long-suffering with joy. You see, the power of God at work in your life, the power of God is to give you the ability to have patience and long-suffering with joy. In other words, you have the endurance to make it through life. Now, I've just had a rough couple of weeks. You can probably tell from my voice that I've got a cold. I actually had the mild version of COVID, the Omicron version. Fortunately, I was vaccinated, but I'm still recovering. And then we went through a huge snowstorm and a power outage and many stressful things for about 2 weeks or so. And so this is my first radio program back from that. And how do you endure the COVID and the snowstorm and the loss of power and being freezing for a while? You have to endure it through the spiritual strength that God has put in your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You have to be able to endure these things because God is working within you for his own good purposes. So the purpose of God's strength is to enable you to put up with life. That's one of the purposes of it, to get through, not to be discouraged by things that happen, such as being very sick or having some financial struggle or going through this snowstorm or being inconvenienced in some way. If you're panicking, if you're throwing a temper tantrum every time something goes wrong, that you haven't been strengthened in the inner man or the inner woman. So God's strength, when it gets inside you, when it changes you, gives you the ability to be patient and endure the circumstances of life with joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you will find yourself full of that joy as God's Holy Spirit goes to work in you and strengthens you for the work of patience. Now, There's a little prayer that I often teach people to help them with their patience. It goes like this. I believe that I am receiving the perfect patience of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that I am receiving the perfect patience of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And why am I teaching you that prayer? Well, in the Bible, as you know, if we believe for something, we can receive it, providing it is God's will. And it's God's will that you be strengthened in the inner man or inner woman to be patient. Patience is part of God's will for you. And it's something that's very hard to get hold of. You can't find patience in a bottle. You can't find it in a library. You can't go out and dig it out of the sand. Patience is something that has to come from heaven, from God's spirit into your spirit. There's no other way to acquire it. It's not in yourself. It's not in your flesh, because in your flesh dwells no good thing. No one is naturally patient. People are naturally impatient. The flesh is impatient. When you're walking in the flesh, you're walking in impatience and fury and anger and oversensitivity and everything else like that. So if you want patience, the only place to get it is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is very willing to give it to you, which is why he's placed the Holy Spirit in your heart. So the Holy Spirit's in your heart to give you all the virtues, all the love, joy, peace, patience that you could ever want. And you can pray simple prayers like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that I am receiving the perfect patience of God with joy right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can pray that for any of the virtues. I believe that I am receiving the joy of the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Or I believe that I'm receiving the perfect peace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And God's Spirit will minister to your spirit, and it will be downloaded from God's great reserves up there in the heavenly realms from Christ within you, the hope of glory. And you will find that you suddenly have a patience that you didn't have before. So you have to believe that God's going to put patience in your heart, that it's going to be okay, that you can make it through, and God will strengthen, will willingly strengthen you to get through life. Now, the problem is that we don't rely on God's patience given to us through the Holy Spirit. We try and tough it out. We try and believe that we're strong enough, tough enough, big enough, mean enough to make it through the problems of life. And we try and rely on our own flesh, our own strength, our own personality, our own character. And it always breaks down under the stress of life. We cannot make it on our own. You and I are not patient enough. We don't have the ability to engage in long suffering, to put up with the other people and circumstances of life. On our own. It's just not there. It has to come from God. It has to come from the Holy Ghost placed in your heart. And so God wants to strengthen you in your inner man or in your inner woman, and you have to receive for that strength. You have to ask that strength, because it is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. And you have to believe that God will give you supernatural patience and goodness and kindness. Now, in going a little bit further over in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ has forgiven you, so you also must do. So, what's it saying here in Colossians? It's telling us that we have to put on the virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, putting on means they're naturally off. Right? In the flesh, we aren't able to do those things. We're not able to forgive one another, etc., etc. We have to deliberately put them on from the spiritual realm, take them out of the spiritual realm where Christ is, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the temple that's inside you where the Holy Spirit dwells. We have to put on those virtues. When you get up in the morning, you have to ask God, Lord Jesus Christ, please, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and I want to put on the virtues of Christ. You have to consciously put on the behavior that Christ wants you to have. It won't flow naturally, or maybe after a while when you're a very mature Christian, it flows naturally. But that comes from decades of putting Christ on daily. You have to put off the flesh. You have to put off the ways of wickedness, lying, adultery, cheating, fornication, all these kinds of things. You have to put away from you all critical spirit, all bitterness, all unforgiveness. You put them away from you. You say, I am putting that off and I am putting Christ on. I am clothing myself with Christ. And you must clothe yourself and the patience and endurance of the saints. You must be able to put up with the circumstances and trials of life. And that is not a natural thing. We all want comfort. We all want God to deliver us a life that is perfectly comfortable, like we think the people in the world have. We look at the lives of the rich and famous. We would like that from God. We would like the Learjet. We would like the Mercedes-Benz. We would like the fancy holidays in the fancy resorts. Of course, that's what our flesh wants. But God has other plans in mind for you. He wants you to be strengthened in the inner man or inner woman so that you become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the ordinary tough circumstances of life, God wants you to be able to endure, to smile, to be joyful, to be different from the world. And we see that in Christ when he was crucified on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He wasn't lashing out. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't pouting. He wasn't full of self-pity. Instead, he was full of spiritual strength to endure an unfair trial and remaining quiet and calm with his mouth shut, just as a lamb goes to the shearers. It is quiet and compliant. And Jesus was not someone throwing a temper tantrum and saying, "This isn't good enough. I am the Son of God. I deserve better than this." Instead, he put on a spirit of meekness and humility and displayed a spiritual nature different from that from the world. And we're to be different from the world. Our patience, our endurance, our long-suffering, our ability to make it through joyfully is a testimony to the power of Christ within us. And so our desire for comfort, while very natural, is often at odds with our desire for spiritual growth and development. And spiritual growth and development doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from your own muscular strength determination. It comes from your ability to download the grace of God into your mind and heart and spirit, then put it into practice by forgiving people, loving people, and turning away from the immature reactions that the impatient people have. Just think of the impatient people in your life who are always throwing a temper tantrum, always manipulating, always getting angry, always getting upset over this, that, and the other. That is the opposite of Christ. And you're to turn away from having that kind of a personality. And you're not to learn from those that are like that. Proverbs says, "Don't go near an angry man, lest you learn his ways." So don't pick up the ways of the impatient people. Put on the ways of the patient, the good, the kind, the merciful, and the compassionate people who see what other people need and provide it for them because they understand the processes that the Lord is engaging in that person's life. Now, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, and then later on in 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit in the context of people devouring one another. It says, "Do not bite and devour one another, lest you yourself also be devoured." And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc., are protections against toxic community. Toxic community comes about when we decide to throw away all patience, all kindness, all long-suffering, and all restraint, and turn on one another with a critical spirit, a harsh spirit, a judgmental spirit, and devour one another in infighting and squabbling. That is completely not Christian. We're not to be involved in infighting, squabbling, and devouring one another. Instead, we're to put on the fruit of the Spirit. We're to put on compassion and kindness for one another. We're to be put on forgiveness. And we're not to be involved in church squabbles, church splits, or anything like that at all. We are to find a new way, a new form of community based on being patient with one another. Love is patient. It's the first thing about love. So the first thing, if you're going to build a great church, a great Christian community, or even a great family, you have to learn to be patient with one another in the ups and downs of life. Well, what does that mean? Well, just say that you have a husband or a wife who doesn't wash the dishes the way you like the dishes to be washed. You have to be patient with them and not get angry and not stomp around if the dishes are not washed quite the way that you would like them to be. And if their driving isn't quite the way you would like them to drive, you have to be patient with the way they drive and not perhaps the way you drive. And if your children are not getting the marks that you expect them to get at school, You have to be patient with them, encourage them, coach them, find out what's going wrong, talk to the teacher, and help them to achieve the results that they should achieve at school. If your partner is not giving you the love and attention you need to be patient with your husband or your wife and talk the issue through and say, I need this and I need that. Can you please help me in this circumstance of life, in this issue of life? And patience involves understanding that the other person is weak, understanding that the other person perhaps cannot deliver exactly what you want, and you'll just have to put up with that. You'll have to be patient with that person. If someone's got a broken leg and you're walking along, you have to be patient with them and walk at the pace of the person with the broken leg. And when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, he was patient and went at the pace of the elderly, the sick, the infirm, and the animals. He did not rush around. He did not make people go at helter-skelter, high-speed pace all the time. And if you're a Christian leader, you must be patient with your church, and you must not push everyone to go at helter-skelter, high-speed pace all the time, because that's just not what God wants under that circumstance. God wants you to be patient and kind and good with your congregation. Now, in Romans 14:13 and 15:5, it talks about us not judging one another. We become impatient when we start judging one another and saying, oh, this person is this and this person is that. This person eats meat, but I don't eat meat. This person drinks this, but I don't drink that. And we start becoming critical. We start having a critical spirit and saying, ah, this person is good or that person is bad. And we develop a legalistic spirit. Oh, they've got to wear this clothes or got to wear that. And we become very angry at them if they don't meet our expectations. And Romans tells us, who are you to judge one another? Each person stands to their own master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is able to make them stand. So judging one another is the opposite of patience. You don't want to have a critical voice in your head that's always, oh, that person's got the wrong Bible. Oh, that person's not doing this. Oh, that person should be wearing white to church or not. Or that person should be doing this or that or the other. Whatever opinions you have, you keep them to yourself. You are not the judge of anyone on the face of this earth. The Lord alone is their judge. And instead, you should be kind with them and say, well, maybe they're doing their best. Maybe that's the best Bible they could afford. Maybe that's the only translation they could get hold of. Maybe they're dressed that way because they've got nothing else to wear. And you need to be kind and patient and good and switch off that angry, judgmental voice in your head. So, and especially this comes to Christian leaders who are in charge of the flock, and we are to be patient with the people that we teach. Now, we're not talking about being patient with heretics, hardened unbelievers, wicked, sinful people, and hardened criminals. In some cases, we have to dust off our feet and leave an area that's resistant to the gospel. That's fairly rare. But if you've got a group of believers under your charge, it's a Sunday school class or a church or another group or a Bible college class, we are to be patient with those we instruct. We have to realize that we are not God. We cannot hurry people along on God's path for their life. We have to walk with them through the ups and downs and valleys. We have to help them as they seek the Lord on their own, in their own way, and in their own generation. I'm 65 now. Sometimes some of the younger people seem to worship God very differently from the way that I worship God. But they're worshiping God in their generation, and I am worshiping God in my generation. And I have to be patient with them, and they have to be patient with me. And we have to realize that things change over the decades, over the years. Things change, they're not the same. And we need to be kind to one another. Let's go to James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. After Hebrews is the book of James. James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Okay, so we here talks about of different kinds of patience. Firstly, the patience of the farmer and waiting for the fruit to mature. And when we're looking at our children, we are waiting for our children to mature, and we should be patient with our children. And next it talks about the patience of Job, who put up with very adverse circumstances in life, who went through a great dark trial and eventually was rewarded and blessed because he hung on to God through that terrible trial. And that is the sort of patience we need through our own ups and downs in the valleys of life. We need to learn to be like Job and about the prophets. And it says, we count them blessed. They went through trials. They went through persecution. They went through terrible things, these prophets of the Lord. Isaiah was sawn in two, and other people went through various things. Most of the prophets in the Old Testament were killed at some point in their life. They did not end up well. And yet we count them blessed. We count them as holy people. They endured much contradiction from the sinful society around them. They did not prosper materially. Instead, they were afflicted on every side. And we know that Jeremiah was put in prison for large chunks of his life and put down a dry well to perish. And then someone hauled him out of that dry well. This is the sort of suffering that the persecuted church goes through. And we need to rejoice and count ourselves blessed when we suffer for the Lord. Then there's the suffering waiting for the day of the Lord. We know that Jesus is going to come back. We know that the day of the Lord is at hand and is closer than before. We know that we have to be patient, but our reward is coming. God will reward us in due time. We shall not be cast aside. We need to be patient with the fruit of righteousness. It may not be obvious now, but the fruit and reward of righteousness will be obvious when Jesus returns. And so there are the kinds of patience, the patience waiting for the Lord, the patience waiting for processes to happen in this life, such as the farmer, patience with suffering and suffering for the faith on the behalf of Jesus Christ. So this is a little exhortation to be patient with one another. And when you are, you'll be perceived as loving. You'll build up a community in unity, and God will call you blessed in every way. So put on patience. Remember that prayer. I believe I'm receiving the perfect patience of God right now, and pray for patience to enter into you and to fill you. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.